In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to day 14 of our journey through Lent. Good to have you with us. My name is Kevin, and glad to be leading our meditation together today. So thanks for tuning in. Well, as we begin, let's settle ourselves into the presence of God. And as we do every day, we just want to spend a moment meditating on the word for today. And the word for today comes from Mark 1:15, and it's the word time. And our verse, again, from Mark 1:15 says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near." So let's spend a minute in the quiet, just settling ourselves into that and meditate on this word, time. Our verse today comes from Mark chapter 1, verse 15. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near." You know, I have a 4-year-old and almost 5-year-old. And time, the concept of time for a 4 and a 5-year-old is almost entirely foreign. You know, I think about how in these weeks leading up to her birthday here in the first week of March, first couple weeks of March, you know, we've been telling her that it's not quite time for her birthday, and she is just like in agony. It will never happen. And you know, she often asks me now, it seems like everything is in 500. She's like, "Is it 500 days from now? Is it 500 hours from now?" And this is true of lunch. This is true of a trip to Target. This is true of her birthday. Everything is 500 something away. And that's because for her, time is abstract. It's not something she can wrap her head around. You know, whereas my 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old, has a much more concrete understanding of time. She understands what an hour is. She understands what a day is. And it's interesting watching them both navigate the world in that way. You know, in the New Testament, there's two different words for our English word time. There's the word chronos, which is where we get our word chronological. And chronos refers predominantly to what we think of when we think of time. It's clock time. It's what we measure in minutes and seconds and hours and days. It's, you know, maybe put real bluntly, it's like one dang thing after another. It's what we refer to when someone asks us, "What time is it?" We will respond with chronos, chronological time. That's the way my 10-year-old, my concrete thinking 10-year-old, processes time. But the other word in the New Testament is this word kairos. And kairos refers to God's time. It's sort of a divine destiny type time. It's time that's set aside and designated for a purpose. It's something entirely distinct and different from chronos. And you know, Jesus would often speak of time in this way. It's the time is fulfilled. My hour has not yet come. The time is coming when. I mean, this is Jesus understanding the idea of kairos. This is what my 4-year-old, my more abstract, not quite ready to think in concrete terms, 4-year-old says. You know, there will be a moment when I say it's time for your birthday. And the moment will have arrived, not as the result in her mind of one thing after another leading to this, but as a time of fulfillment. You know, it's this sort of kairos that Jesus operated out of. I mean, if you watch Jesus, I mean, can you imagine Jesus ever in a hurry, ever in a rush? Like, it's hard to wrap your head around because you just don't see that in him. And I think it's because he operates out of this understanding of Kairos. He sees every moment, not as some chronological unfolding, but rather a divine appointment. Time was sacred. The encounters with people were sacred. The mundane, everyday tasks were, in fact, sacred. Now, there's this principle of biblical hermeneutics, which is like a $10 way to say biblical interpretation. And there's this principle of biblical hermeneutics that's called the hermeneutic of first mention. And all that's to say is that it's this means in which the first time a concept or a really important word appears in Scripture, it carries a different sort of specific weight and emphasis. Now, with that in mind, I want you to, do you know the first thing that the Scriptures call holy? Right, think about it. Operating out of this principle, this hermeneutic of first mention, the first thing that's called holy is not a place, it's not a person, it's not a thing, but rather it's Sabbath. I mean, think about that for a second. Rather than naming a holy place that so many of the other religions in our world do, God chooses a day. He calls a day holy. He sets aside time as holy. Now, why would he do this? I think it's because, you know, all of creation is God's. You know, God's omnipresence, one of those core characteristics we hold of God, means that God's presence is available everywhere, that he is, in fact, not in creation, but available in all of creation. Right? He's there. He's everywhere. And so you can't designate a space, a material space, as holy. Rather, he designates time. And this is fascinating because I think it provides the opportunity that when we slow down and we then encounter God in time, we are meeting him, not in space and material space, but in time. And so the question, I think, for us is, what would it mean for us to live and operate out of Kairos, just as Jesus did? What would it mean to not simply live enslaved to Kronos, but to find ourselves paying attention to that holy Kairos-type living, attending to the presence of God in the mundane, everyday tasks, from washing dishes to taking out the laundry, to meeting God in communion. Each of those moments just as holy as the other. So today, for our daily practice, what we're going to do is, I want you to finish this sentence every time you check the clock today. So every time you find yourself checking in on Kronos, I want you to ask this question, or finish this sentence: in my life right now, it is God's time for, and then fill in the blank. And all it is hopefully a subtle shift to remember Kairos, to remember a God-appointed type of time. So what I want to do for our prayer is simple. I want us to just attend to the presence of God. So for the next minute or so, I just want us to maybe live into that Kairos idea, recognizing God has designated this space and time for us to be. And so I just want to practice a simple breath prayer that just says, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." So for the next minute, I invite you to just repeat those words subtly under your breath and fix your attention and your heart on God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Spend a minute praying that prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. attend to the presence of God? Do you ask the Holy Spirit how to live more aware of God's presence throughout your day? What is it that needs to change? What is it that can help you to live more attentive to Kairos? Come, Lord Jesus, come. That's our prayer. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow.
Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.